policeman, and he was shot by a, quote, ray gun. And long story short, he came back and reported to his mother, and the Air Force came out, and they checked out the whole territory and so forth. And that entire Ohio River Valley, again, end of the story, is that that entire Ohio River Valley has been often visited by cigar-shaped, disc-shaped, beings, mm-hmm. etc.
Well, I think just about every place has been visited quite often.
Well, see, that's just it. It's happened in a lot of spaces, you know.
Do you have a question? Do you have a question, Patricia, for any of the panelists?
No, I don't have a question at all. I just think it's incredible that all of these avenues are, like, coming together.
Mm-hmm.
And the other idea was that DeForest Kelly, you know, shows up on this show. I have an inclination that people who work from their gut instinct, I mean, and this certainly includes actors and all, are so attuned that it's almost a lost art in this country, that people are so into their mind, into the entire...
Mm-hmm.
I'll set my goal, I'll follow through with my feeble little mind, and we'll do stuff. And there's something to be said for the visceral radar
mm-hmm.
that's there.
Well, we've heard that before, that some people
right.
are more...
And a lot of
some people have better receivers than others.
Oh, God knows.
Okay, Patricia.
Surely than me.
All right. Listen, we're going to have to run now, hon. I appreciate your comments.
Thank you so much.
Helping... Okay. Get a handle on things
Good
like
luck.
That.
Goodbye.
I'm Bill Jenkins. It's Open Mind on a Saturday night. Then I took DeForest Kelly's place in our little panel. George Green is here with America West Distributors. They have a number of books about the many UFO sightings. The China book, of course, is a fantastic book. The Coldest Experience. People should. These alternate universes are very difficult for me to understand, George. Do you?
I'm not sure anything other than we just have a lot of experience going on. And when you're mentioning these different planets that other life forms appear to be coming from, it's interesting to see how they correlate with what we're doing right now and how the life form itself, when you mention the coldest. The book is interesting because during the last few years of their experience, their planet, as a total peaceful planet, all of a sudden got involved with a major war and has nearly wiped itself out.
Well, that's... way wars are with a high technology.
It's interesting that they had 1,000 years of peace, though, and during their visit down here, this occurred back on their planet while they were doing their observation of us. And then some of these other books we're talking about, the Iargans, was a planet that is 90% water, and the people are more aquatic. And it's an interesting observation of the information that they've given us, because their system, their government system, as we were talking about previously, how they communicate, their philosophy, the spirituality, the social behavior, all these things are mentioned in these excerpts of the books as much as the research we could do. And these are all limited edition books, so we don't have a lot of them available. People that are actively interested in this type of information, just please write to us and we'll send you a book list, and you'll have a collector's item when you get them. Most of the books obtained have pictures in them. Pictures of the craft or drawings or whatever is available, along with supporting evidence, so we have done as much research as we possibly can.
All right. Patricia that just called in, she touched on something we haven't talked about tonight, and that is more of a spiritual bend to some of this. I remember back in 1950 when I saw my first one, I was an engineer, an agnostic. I didn't really care about religion or spiritual things, but over the years since that time, I've had a great interest in philosophy and in religious concepts, to the point to where I give lectures on various religious or spiritual ideas now. So that did something to me. So it seems to have come with the lease on being interested in the UFO phenomena.
An advancing technology requires an advancing spirituality, or you'll use it against yourself.
Yes.
Bob, it's interesting. We have another book that is not out yet. It'll be out in about the next month, and it's a case that Bill and I are discussing with about sending down to visually take care of. This is going on in Brazil in the Mirassol case. And it's interesting that they're having some biological experiments, biogenetic experiments, actually, which they were forced to have sex with a strange, at least to the contact, a frightening-looking woman with maroon-colored skin and flame-colored coiled hair. And there's a baby that's born, and we're trying to get as much information. In fact, we're sending a crew down here in the next couple of weeks to Brazil.
Mm-hmm.
And along with that, the subsequent information, I'm sure Bill will be reporting on that. We do have this book coming out.
They had better get pictures.
They better get a video.
Video pictures. It's spending a lot of money for the beginning.
This case is very interesting because this is some other information. We obtained some salve. I don't know if I told you about this before,
yes.
Bill,
mm-hmm.
That was utilized by these people, that was given to the people in Brazil from the aliens. This salve was supposedly put on the palms of the hand and on the bottom of the feet, and it was absorbed through the skin. And a couple days later, a crust formed on it, and the people were cured of cancer. I took a sample of this material and had it analyzed spectrographically, and it doesn't match up to anything we know. A lot of this information is coming out now, and we really are thrilled about the possibilities of new things.
It's getting to be more than just talk. It's show and tell time.
It's getting physical. We're setting up dates now for appointments. That's what we're trying to do now with Bill. And
it looks like we're going to do it.
Right.
And will that be exciting? My wife will never... Why are you going to South America? I'm to take a picture of a flying saucer.
Oh, yeah.
Well, am I going to have to do a cell job at home, George? You let the cat out of the bag. Okay, let's see. We have Bob on the line. Hello, Bob.
Hello. So I'm down here from Washington State, and I'm really enjoying your show.
Thank you.
I've kind of became a ufologist by a roundabout method. I started developing my own theory of gravity about 15 years ago, and published a booklet called Theory and Mechanics of Gravity Field Generation last year, self-published.
Mm-hmm.
And advertised it in Proper Science, Proper Mechanics, and classifies under Gravity Field Generator. Maybe you've seen it there.
That's a very interesting science.
And basically, I was just kind of out in the woods by myself thinking about this stuff. And through correspondence with people who have bought my booklet, have led me to believe that I was completely on the right track as far as seeking gravity in the centripetal vortex motion rather than mass, but I won't get to that right now.
Well, we've gotten into that very thing, the G-field generators here, time and time again, and they do amazing things, like, for instance, tap another power source. We're not too sure where the power is coming from, but if you stress them and put them out of phase, you've got something going there that'll amaze you.
Does the name with anybody there, does the name Victor Schauberger strike a familiar note?
Not to me, but that doesn't mean anything.
Victor Schauberger was an Austrian who built flying saucers in Vienna in 1940.
Now you strike a chord, yes.
Okay. When my research led me to him, and actually into developing the powers of the vortex to develop a gravitational field, everything kind of fell into place for him. I seriously need somebody to think tank with down here in Los Angeles. I hope I can get some contacts here through this.
Why don't you check me here at the station Monday afternoon?
Monday afternoon?
Or Monday evening, about 6 o'clock.
Okay.
Talk to you further about that.
And I'd like to put forward the terrestrial hypothesis. Somebody said they were published by Prentice Hall.
Yes.
And they might be familiar with the book Clear Intent.
Larry, we were hoping that Larry would get on the show tonight. Larry Fawcett, who wrote the book, he has been on the show before.
Well, just one report from the FBI section of that book, page 177, 178, of the Polish prisoner of war who witnessed the UFO takeoff in Germany in 1944.
Mm-hmm.
That's a very good confirmation of the possibility of the German connection. And when you mentioned about what percentage in South America it just had to click with the Germans, too, because there's so many Germans there.
The Germans did have a saucer-shaped aircraft, I think it was. And it's an experimental stage, and we indeed found it in those caverns near Austria after the war. But it wasn't anything that could perform like the massive reports of these craft.
Have anybody heard of the book Living Water, Victor Schauberger and the Secrets of Natural Energy?
I haven't, but that, again, doesn't mean anything.
So it's published in England. It was written in Swedish.
Mm-hmm.
But it's published in English in 1981 by Turnstone Press. It's not available. There is a copy at University of California at Irvine and one in Santa Barbara.
Okay. Well, listen, check with me Monday evening.
I will.
Try to put you in touch with some people who might be very interested in talking to you and you talking to them.
At the station?
Yeah, just call me here and ask for me. I'm easy to get to.
Okay, thank you.
Sometimes I'm too easy to get to. All right, thank you very much, Bob. I appreciate you getting in here. I'm Bill Jenkins. It's Open Mind on a Saturday night on KBO Update. We have a roundtable going, and we are talking to Jeff, I believe it is. Hello, Jeff.
Hi, how you doing?
Thank you for hanging on so long.
Yeah, I hope you remember me. I sent you a book on spirit voices recently.
Yes, I certainly did. We'll be doing a show on spirit voices. In fact, I'll unleash some Spiriton material and some others to you.
Before I relate a couple of UFO stories, I'd like to mention something to Mr. Kelly. I hope he's still listening at home. I'm also a film archivist, and I have a very obscure collection of early television and motion pictures, and I've got a 5-minute show that he did probably about 1950 with Ellen Corby called The Little Theater.
Mm-hmm.
He looked like he was about 24 years old. So if he's interested in seeing it again, he can contact you.
Okay.
Anyway.
Did you get that, Doc?
Yes. When I was a kid, I used to live up in Michigan, a real small town called Ramsey. And on the 4th of July, I'll never forget this, this was one of two sightings that I seen. And the whole town witnessed this. We were coming up a hill, and they were having a 4th of July parade down the main street of the town. It must be, I don't know, 6,000 people in the town. And they were all there watching this. And this green, looked green, cigar-shaped, with a sea-green color, craft glided in a very peculiar way across the sky, and everybody looked up and saw the thing. They all witnessed it, and there was nothing in the papers about it. Everybody called. And the second...
A shooting gun in the barrio is always more interesting to newsmen, you gotta understand it.
Yes. Now, when I was 16 years old, it was on my 16th birthday, I and a few friends were standing around, and over these big power lines that we've got locally here, everybody saw this. It was a circular craft, and it had 6 or 7 lights around the side of the craft. And it had a dome on the top. I mean, this thing was as plain as day. It was about 6:30, and it had just on the verge of twilight.
Here in Los Angeles?
It was in Los Angeles, and we were watching it. It was following the power lines, and it got to the last power line, and it almost made a 45-degree angle, and it shot right up and right out. I mean, it was gone. And we went in, and we called up, I don't remember who we called, but, you know, they denied it. We thought maybe it was a weather machine or something. But those are my two UFO experiences.
That story almost reminds me of Jonathan Winters. You know, they feed on wheat.
They feed on wheat. That's right.
Well, in the late 50s, there was a number of reports of these things being over power generating stations, freshwater reservoirs, and high-tension lines. They seemed to be seen all over the world over high-tension lines.
There was a lot of reports, if you remember, back in the mid-60s, the great blackout of New York.
Yes.
That there were reports in central New York of these craft over the power grid that comes up from Niagara toward the eastern part of New York State now, as if they were sucking out electricity. A lot of sightings and a lot of people saw it. I don't know what kind of a verification ever came of that. Do you know, Jason?
I have some information on that. In my lectures, I tell about Clay, New York, is where that power distribution was.
Yes.
And the airport manager and several pilots coming in to land saw this red saucer-shaped thing hover over this power grid or distribution transformers, and then everything went black.
Uh-huh.
And then when they investigated the breakers back at Niagara Falls, they found out the surge came from Clay backwards into the system instead of the other way around.
Well, Bill.
Yes.
Two things before I take off. I've been promised a copy. I'm trying to get it from the guy. Of a recording he has of a UFO, he says, and some photographs, and he's been keeping it under wraps for about 20 years, so I'm anxious to get a hold of this. I'm going to call him, as a matter of fact, later.
I would like to hear it, because I have some recordings of a UFO.
Hmm.
They make a Very interesting sound.
Yes, yes. And the other thing was, did you get a chance to listen to the tape, and how did you like it?
I haven't had a chance to listen to it there, but it's in my stack.
Well, I think you'll find it interesting. A lot of the Stuart Robbs experiments are on it.
Uh-huh.
You know, whenever Stuart's around, there's always something psychic going on.
Something psychic is going on, true.
Well, listen, I'll talk to you soon.
All right, Jim.
Thank you.
Thank you very much
Bye-bye.
For checking in. I'm Bill Jenkins. It's Open Mind on a Saturday night. It's Open Mind. I'm Bill Jenkins, and we have had an open line to so many of you. About the UFO. We've learned some things tonight. We've had some interesting guests tonight. I want to take just a moment to talk about a very interesting thing that will happen next week. You perhaps have heard of the crystal skulls. They are amazing. They do incredible things. Probably one of the most interesting artifacts we have in the world are these perfect crystal skulls that have been found in Central America. The research on them is fascinating. You put light on them and you get pictures. You get all kinds of pictures, including some of the pictures that were in your mind before you got there. Whole hour, whole 3 hours on the crystal skull. I invite you to be there. One of the most fascinating subjects we've run across in a long time. A lot of you have been asking for Jason's address. Jason has faded on us here. His throat has gone. I've had guests fade before, Jason, but this takes the cake. he's lost it altogether. But you can reach him at Post Office Box 464 in Ridgecrest, California. That's 93555. I'm about to fade. Did you notice that? And, of course, we'll have his address on record for you here at KABC. We have George on the line. Hello, George.
Hello.
Thank you for waiting for so long.
That's good. All right. I wanted to add a footnote on your conversation about the flyover in L.A. in 1942.
Yes, we were talking to DeForest Kelly, you know, Bones on Star Trek. He had seen that himself.
Well, I did, too.
Well, there's two of you.
And I was in the service in the 94th Fighter Squadron and stationed at Long Beach. And I happened to be on duty, night flying duty, operating landing lights for airplane. It was, late or early in the morning, around 1, 2 o'clock, and this flashes from the anti-aircraft firing was way off in the distance, and I watched it for the longest time, and it finally, and it was headed straight for us and directly overhead, and I know I saw the objects, which were the wing contour of the, I believe they were airplanes, was the same as the only airplane that the United States had at that time with that same wing contour was the T-43, which was the baby T-47, and our outfit had T-38s, and there weren't any of them in the air at that time. They were all on the ground.
But you think they were airplanes then?
I definitely do, and they flew exactly overhead, and I could see the wing contour of them in the lights from the ground lights.
Mm-hmm.
And I would estimate them to be about, they were from 10 to 15,000 feet high, and flying from northwest to southeast, and perfectly straight line. They didn't change course or anything. And
you think they were American planes?
The only other two airplanes I know of at that time that had a wing contour like that were the Japanese Zero and our American T-43.
Well, we have, you know, history shows us that the Japanese had no way of getting them here.
Well, that I don't know, and I don't think that they were our airplanes. So.
Okay.
And another deal that I was out there on the runway at the time and wearing a tin hat, of course, and we got under the GI trucks because the shrapnel was falling all around us.
Oh, yeah, that's what DeForest was telling it. It was all falling. George, I really thank you for sharing that with us, and we've just run out of time.
I would
love to have heard the rest of the story. We'll just do it again. We'll have another UFO update, and I want to hear that story from you again, because that certainly is one of the early famous sightings that some attribute to our friend the UFO. Our thanks to George Green, Jason Rand, DeForest Kelly, Bob Alexander, all of you who dropped in tonight, and those that shared your experiences about the UFO. The Mitchell Hedges Crystal Skull with Nick Nocerino next week. It'll be one of the most fascinating 3 hours you ever spend. I hope you join me then. I'm Bill Jenkins.